Amen. We're going to be talking about up close with God out of Acts chapter 17 and verses 22 through 34, talking about being close to God. If we're close to God, we don't have to worry about anything. Amen. Amen. And that's what we want to draw to today. We want to draw close to Him and, you know, thank the Lord that before even services have been started today, God is already saving souls and touching lives. Amen. And we appreciate that. We have Miss Lisa Gilbert to be coming, Brother Jeff Gilbert to be coming, and then also Robert in the back. All three of them accepted the Lord this morning before church even got started. Amen. Amen. So God is working and moving in a great and mighty way. That's when you know God's at work. Amen. Amen. Well, we as I said, we're going to talk about being close to God this morning in Acts chapter 17 and verses 22 and following. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we're just thankful for what you're doing in our church, the Lord. Thank you for Lisa and Jeff and Robert this morning giving their hearts and life to you, the Lord, and asking Jesus to come in our heart to be their Lord and Savior. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for what you're doing in our church, the Lord, and your spirit that is in here and your spirit that is moving. Father, I pray today, the Lord, that through your message, Lord, and through your word, that, Father, we will be convicted in our lives, the Lord, that we will move closer to you, the Lord, closer under the spout, as my grandpa used to say, where the glory comes out, closer to you, the Lord, that we can feel your presence, Father. And may we lay aside everything that's going on in our minds and in our lives and in our hearts. May we focus on you today and focus on your word. May we be challenged in your word to live a more godly life, the Lord. And, Father, if there's anything that's in our heart and lives that are hindering our worship or anything that's in our heart and life that's hindering the fellowship at this church, the Lord, we pray that you remove it from our lives, the Lord, and Father, get rid of it, and Father, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, the Lord, and Father, I just pray that you defeat the devil, bind Satan, his demons and workers up, those that have opposition, the Lord. Father, we pray that the opposition would cease, the Lord, and that the Satan's not welcome here. His opposition's not wanted here. And again, Father, let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our lives, the Lord. Fill us with your presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Bless us, the Lord. Fill us with the words that you desire us to say, Father, to present to the congregation today. Father, may your word cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May we be challenged again to live a more godly life for you. Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. We give the services to you, Lord, and Father, it's yours. And we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Acts chapter 17. In verses 22 and following, we're going to follow up with what Brother Leroy was preaching on Sunday. And on Sunday morning, I was in Acts 16. Brother Leroy was in 17. And we're going to pick up and follow through that. Lord, bless me and touch my heart with a verse of Scripture and passages of Scripture from that. It's dealing with Paul on Mars Hill, getting closer to God. Acts chapter 17 and verses 22 through 34 say this. It said, then Paul stood in the midst of the Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that all things, you are too superstitious. You are religious. You're very religious. You know, but God just don't want us to be religious. He don't want us just to be superstitious. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. It's not about religion, folks. We can have all the religion we want and die and go to hell. It's not about being a Baptist. It's not about being a Catholic or Presbyterian or any other denomination that you can call religion. That's not what's going to get you into heaven. It's a personal relationship with Jesus is what's going to gain us interest into heaven. So it's not about religious. So he said, I perceive in all things that you're too superstitious. You're too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything from you and me, and as he needed anything, and seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell all the face of the earth. And he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone or graven by art or man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at it. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Up close with God is the text. And number one, if you're taking notes, getting close to God, folks, requires more than religion. Getting close to God requires more than religion. It requires a personal relationship with you and me. Getting close to God, it takes some things on your part that we have to do. It takes being faithful and attending church. It takes, you know, being a part of Sunday school. It takes being a part of devoting yourself to reading God's word daily. It takes a part of a prayer on a regular basis. This is a part of us getting close to God. Getting close to him requires for us to do something on our behalf. God already done his part, and it's up to you and me to do our part. If we want to have a relationship with the Lord and we want to be close to God, then there's certain things that we have to do in our own life. And believe me, it takes some dedication from you and me. It takes some time of us to dedicate our life in prayer. Prayer is not something that, when I talk about prayer, I'm talking about designating a specific time and place that you get down, you spend time with the Lord, and you pray with him. That's what Jameson and Robert and Brother Leroy and myself do on Wednesday mornings. Now we come into this church, we gather at this altar, and we pray and we seek the Lord. Praying for you personally, praying for the church, praying for the community, praying for us as leaders, that we can spend some time with God and feel God's anointing and power. It takes dedication in your life and my life to do that, to have a prayer time. It takes dedication in your life and my life to give up some time to spend with God in his word, to open up God's word and to read it. He tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Spending time in God's word, reading it. These are the ways, and attending fellowships and Sunday school and things of this nature. These are the way that as the body of Christ, as children of God, we grow closer to the Lord, and in growing closer to the Lord, we go closer to each other as a church family when we do these things. So getting close to God requires more than religion. Religion alone will not save you. Religion within itself will not save you. Christianity is not about religion. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Religion does not take away sin. Faith in Jesus Christ takes away sin. That's what takes away sin in your life and my life. It's faith in the Lord. My grandpa used to say, you can have all the religion in the world. You can be baptized into every tadpole and every mud hole from Florida to New Mexico, knows your social security number, and still die and spend eternity in hell. Because it's not about baptism. It's not about religion. It's not about what denomination you are. Jesus is, when God the Father is looking down from heaven, he's looking to see if the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. He's looking to see if you got a personal relationship with him. That's what's going to gain you access into heaven. Is have there ever been a point in time in your life that you've made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? Ever been a point in time and say, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. The best way I know how, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins I committed unto you. And when you do that, Jesus enters in. The Holy Spirit takes up residency in your life and my life. And that's what it's about. Getting close to God. Don't get more. We got enough religion out there. There's enough religion. We need some personal relationships with the Lord. There's enough of people that are religious. You know, I need some people that are devoted to God. There's enough of religion around. We need some commitment. We need to be devoted to the Lord. Number two, getting close to God requires believers the truth about him. In Acts 17 and verse 24 says this, he created everything in verse 24. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He created everything. You know, whatever forms of microevolution that may exist, the raw materials all came from God. The raw materials all came from God. The thing started out with a mass of swirling gas. Then what was the source of the gases? God created this world and all that is in it. And then he created man in his own image. Man fell when he sinned in the garden against God. Man fell by the way through disobedience. But God provided a way for that relationship to be mended. He provided that way when he gave his son Jesus for you and me. When he said in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paved the way for you and me. For the disobedience of sin in the garden, God provided a way to fix that relationship. God, the creator, longs to see man, the high point of his creation, be restored in a right relationship with him. As man's creator, he has the authority over man and all authority over things. And since he is the source of all things, he created all things and all things are in him. As scripture said, we live, we move, and we have our being because of the Lord's blessings upon your life and my life. So getting close to God requires believing the truth about him, believing in him that created everything. Not only that, but he is totally self-sufficient. When you look at verses 24 and 25 again, it said, the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He is totally self-sufficient. God needs nothing from mankind. He created mankind. He created it all. He doesn't need anything for us. God is complete and in himself. As the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is unity in the Godhead that is beyond our understanding. God did not create man out of necessity for companionship or for any other necessity. Revelations tells us that we are created for God's pleasure. God is certainly the source of man's needs. God is certainly the source of our needs. God created us for pleasure, for his pleasure, for you and me. And my friends, he desires that relationship of us. He created that. He is our Father. He is God of all. He desires a relationship from you and me. Just as we desire a relationship from our husband, our wife, our children, our spouses, our family, God is the same way. He is our family. We are the family of God. He desires a relationship with you and me. That's what he desires for. He created us for that, my friends, and he desires that relationship for us. But understanding, God is total self-sufficient. He created all, he made all, my friends, and he is total self-sufficient. Not only that, but he gives life and breath and everything else to mankind, as it said in the last part of 25, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things. He gives life, breath, and everything to mankind. There is nothing man can give God that God has not already given to man. There's nothing man can give God that God hasn't already given to you and me. God is that. God is the source. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what battles are in your life. But I know one thing. If you give it to God, God's the source. He's the answer for it all. We need a man of God and women of God to step up to the plate, be more committed to God, and be sold out for him, and live a holy life, a pure life that God can use and transform so that we can be used of him to reach a lost and dying world. God wants more of you. He wants more of me to carry out the gospel. That's what he has us for. He needs us to do that. He gives life and breath and everything else to us. God is the source. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is the answer. God is bigger than anything that you are facing today. God is bigger than anything that might be in your life today. He's bigger than all. We just need to have faith and give it to him all. He wants all of us. He don't want part of you. He don't want part of your mind. He don't want part of your body. He don't want part of your heart. He wants all of your heart, your mind, your soul. Let's give it to him today. He deserves that. He tells us in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Is it not reasonable that we give God our whole body, as a living sacrifice because he gave his all for you and me. And all he requires of us back is to give him our body and give him our life as a living sacrifice. That's all he wants from us. Oh, listen to me. If we would grasp that, we would be so better off in every kind of relationship that we have, whether it's with husbands, wife, children, family, job, church, whatever it is. If we just sell out for Jesus and give him it all, it'll transform our life. It'll transform our life. And he wants us to be that living sacrifice. Not only that, but he is a divine strategist. He has a plan for you and me. His plans go far more and reaches far further and far higher than you and I can ever anticipate. He has a plan for us, folks, and a plan for your life and my life. We just need to get in tune with the Lord. We need to have a more powerful prayer life, a more dedicated scripture reading, Bible study time, dedicated in the Lord. And look what the Lord was going to do for you and me. Some of us are too scared to step out because you're scared that God might call you into something that you think you're not qualified to do. Step out. The Lord wants to use you. Step out into the water. Wade out a little bit deeper. See what God has in store for you. He's got something planned for each and every one of us. He has a plan for you. And guess what? Whom God calls, he equips. You don't have to worry about it. If he's calling you to do something, he'll take care of you. He'll equip you to get the job done. You don't have to worry about it. Oh, he has a divine strategist. Not only that, he is not far from any of us. Look at verse 27 and 28. It says that they should seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. That's what he wants from you and me today. He wants us to seek him. My friends, because things come up in our life, and when we try to handle it as individuals, we make a mess of it. We make a mess of it. Seek the Lord. As Proverbs says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Nina's back there ready to whoop me because she didn't have none of these verses. This one's the Lord gave me. Amen. But he will take care of you. Trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Seek him today. He will take care of you. And he's the source that we need to tap into. He's not far from us. We need to understand that they should seek the Lord in verse 27. And if happily they might feel after him, go for him, grab him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and we move, and we have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He's not far from us. This is one of the most exciting truths in the passage to me. Paul is not even speaking to Christians here. He is speaking to pagan philosophers. He's speaking to the Stoics. He's speaking to the Epicureans. This is Paul's first major exposition of the gospel to the audience without a background of the Old Testament theology or the Jewish theology. He's teaching our Jewish thoughts. You see, the Stoics were pantheistic, believing that God was in everything. God is all and all is God. They were also opposed to self-indulgence and pleasure. The Epicureans, on the other hand, they lived for enjoyment and fulfillment. They did not deny the deity existed, but they saw them as far away and unconcerned about the affairs of man. That's not true. God is with us. He's near us. And when you make him Lord of your life, he lives within you. He lives within your heart. Many people seem to adopt the Epicurean view that God is so far off, he doesn't even know what's going on in our little world. Well, Isaiah 55:6 says this, says, seek the Lord. Says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is not far from anyone here today. All that is needed is a heart that will start looking for him, and you will find him. Mark has a slide, a little cartoon that he had up there. And in that little cartoon slide, right here, you see that? That's Jesus. It said, getting close to God requires believing truth about him. How can you not believe in Jesus? He's standing right here. How can you not believe in him? This is him, man. He's telling that other dude, I don't believe. Where's God at? God ain't nowhere around me. I'm having all these issues and problems in my life. I'm looking out at y'all right now, and y'all like this. Y'all looking like a bunch of mules. I just ate a bunch of briars through a barbed wire fence. We are children of God. It's time to cross your arms and give God a praise and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Oh, listen. God's not in some far out of space country. He's right here. Not only that, but if you made Jesus Lord of your life, He lives within you. He lives within you. He's right there. He's not far from us, my friend, and most of us think that. Not only that, He's much more than man's greatest ideal of Him. In verse 29, it says, "For as much then as we are not the all, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art of man's device." You know, God, we are not think of Him as the greatest ideal. Something as a piece of silver or gold or stone or some kind of artwork of man's greatest device. No, listen. At the time that Jesus wants us, men have made idols of gold and silver. You've seen it in Exodus. You've seen it through all of Scripture. You've seen that. And when Moses came back off of the mount, you know, what were they doing? They had built what? A fatted calf of gold. They've made images out of Him and started worshiping Him. Man is designed to worship, but we're designed to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His name is Jesus, my friends. Designed to worship. And so we see here that men made idols of gold and silver, and many of them are beautiful beyond imagination according to man's standards. However, these idols fall so pathetically short of showing what God is like and His true identity with Him. And God commands His people not to make idols. We as Christians are here to show the world what God is like. We as Christians are here to show and tell the world what God is like. In doing that through our life, we're to show that so that they may desire to know Him for themselves. Let's not limit God by trying to make God in our own image. Let's take the Word of God and share the truth of God, and so that people, God can reveal Himself into people's lives and people's hearts, so that they have an earnesty to desire and a desirous heart to want to know more of God, to want to have more of God, to want to know about this Lord, to want to accept Him and make Him Lord of their life. That's what we should do. He's more than man's grandest ideal of Him. He has overlooked past ignorance, but now requires repentance. Look at verse 30. It said, "In times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." He overlooked, my friend, past ignorance, but no more. He requires, my friends, repentance. The time for ignorance is past. Now that Jesus the Messiah has come into this age and kingdom, He has come, man may no longer pledge ignorant in regarding God's requirements to make it into heaven. Not regarding that. He tells us in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to make it into heaven, and that's through Jesus. That's through making Jesus Lord of our life. It's the only way that we gain access into them. He requires repentance from every wrong deed. He requires a change in the posture of our heart. Rather than arrogantly thinking we can make it without Him, He wants us to humble ourselves before Him, ask Him to forgive us of the mess we've made our lives, and we must acknowledge that we need Him and His help and His salvation to make it through. Not only that, He will judge the world one day by the man He raised from the dead. Look at verse 31. It says, "Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead." My friends, He's sitting there telling He will judge the world one day by the man Jesus that He raised from the dead. Nobody likes to talk about judgment, but every person will stand before God and give an account of his and hers life. And if you were standing before God today, what could He say about your life? What can He say about you if we were standing and God was in His presence today, and we standing there today to give an account, because we all will, and He is the righteous judge. If we were standing there today and He was to say, "Why should I let you into my kingdom?" What would you say? What would you say if you're standing there today and say, could you tell me how you served me? Could you tell me how you loved me? Could you tell me how your prayer life was? How your Bible life was? How your study time was? How faithful were you in God's attending? If he was to stand there today, how could we answer him? He will judge man one day. He would judge the world with the man that he raised from the dead, and that is Jesus. When that day comes, will you be able to say that you lived for Jesus, or would you say that you lived for yourself? We can only get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary to take away sins. What can we say? We will stand before him one day. Not only that, but number three, getting close to God begins with repentance. Getting close to God begins with repentance in Acts 17 and verse 30. He said this again, "In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Folks, we need to repent and get our lives close to God. We need to repent and give our heart and life to him. Repent for what we've done, what we said, and how we've acted, and let God take control of our life. Repentance is absolutely necessary if we want to get close to God. It's absolutely necessary if we want to make it to heaven. The reasons humans struggle with repentance, because it gives a death blow to our pride. Gives a death blow to our pride. We don't want to give it up and turn loose and let God take control. But my friend, I'm here to tell you, if you don't give it up and turn it loose and let God take control of your life, you're going to be a miserable life. You're going to make those around you miserable and everybody in contact with you miserable until you give your heart and life to the Lord. Repent for what you've done, ask him to forgive you, restore unto you fellowship and relationship with the Lord in order for you to live a life of abundant life. He wants us to have abundant life. He tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to give you an abundant life, my friends. But you got to trust in him. You got to repent. You got to give it all to him. And surrender it all to him. The song says, I surrender all. You got to surrender all to the Lord. Give it to him and let the word Lord work in your life today. If we would just do that and lay it at the altar, God will restore whatever it is in your life that needs to be restored. But it's going to take you giving it all up, laying it all on the altar and giving it all to the Lord. Laying it all on the table, coming clean with God, and he'll restore and fix and repair whatever it is in your life that's gone wrong. But it takes us giving it up. Are you ready to give it up and give it to the Lord? If you will, I will assure you, God will do major things in your life and my life if we surrender to him. Getting close to God, as I said, requires us to repent, you know, and it requires us to say, you know, I was wrong. I admit it. I messed up. I've sinned and done wrong. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He tells us in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He wants us to have a broken and contrite heart and spirit. That's what God can use. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with half your heart. Oh, y'all paying attention this morning. Y'all paying attention. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with part of your heart.
Heart.
With what?
Heart.
It takes all our heart, soul, mind, and life for God to use in a way that brings him honor and glory. God wants to use us, but are we going to let him? Are you going to seek him? You shall seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is close to your life and my life. He is right here. He is in this place. He is close with us. Are you ready to let him be close in your life like he wants to be? Are you going to let him be God of your life like he desires to be? Oh, listen to me. I can tell you today that a relationship with the one true God through Jesus Christ will help you become a better person. It'll help you become a better parent to your kids. It'll help you become a better father, a better mother. It'll help you become a better wife, a better husband, in a relationship with the Lord. It'll help you become a better friend. My friends, if you give it to the Lord. The greatest thing about knowing God knows that the future is already taken care of, not only in this life, but in the life to come. My friend, he wants a relationship with you. He desires for you and me to be close to him my friend. He desires that, as that one slide, as we put up earlier, that Mark had right there. Folks, so many times we think Jesus is so far away. So many times we think he's in a distant country somewhere, in outer space somewhere. We think he's so far away that he's untouchable, that you can't touch him. Just as Jesus is witness to this man and his friends behind him, he says, how can you not believe in Jesus? He's standing right here. He's standing right here. How can you not believe in Jesus? He's standing at your heart's door and knocking. He tells us in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I'll come in and abide with him, in him with me. Oh, he's standing at your heart's door this morning. What is it you haven't gave up? God's close to us today. What is it you haven't gave up? What is it? What is it, church? What is it? God desires holiness from you and me. Purity. Righteousness. When are we going to give it up and give it to him? When are we going to give it to him? He wants to be close to you today. He desires to be close to you today. What is it in your life that is pushing him away? What is it in your life that's hindering God from being close to you today? Will you release it? Will you give it to the Lord? Will you lay it at the altar and let God be God of your life and take care of you? Oh, listen, you might be here today and you've never been saved. Won't you come forward? I share with you what you must do in Scripture to be saved. What Scripture says about making Jesus Lord of your life. Oh, maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We would love to be your church home and church family and the family of God. I'd love to be your pastor. Maybe there's things that you need to pray about and cut loose and turn it over to God and let God take control of it. What is it today he's speaking to your heart about? Will you stay?